Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you heard St. Paul warn us today in the epistle, we Christians are at war. But not like the Muslims who war by killing, who war by compelling, who war by seeking to destroy. We Christians are at war. But as Paul said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We are at war with the devil, and lives are at stake. You can't war against the devil or ward him off with holy water or crucifixes. You can't protect yourself with your own will or with your own power. There is only one shield that can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And what did Paul say it was? It's the shield of faith. Not just any faith, but faith in Jesus Christ, true God and true man, who bore your sins to the cross and earned for you everlasting life. With that faith as a shield, all the fiery darts of the evil one are stopped. Now faith, that faith can be weak and it can be strong. Weak or strong. Where there is faith in Christ crucified, you are protected. You are safe. You are saved. You are righteous before God because by faith, weak or strong, you are clothed in Christ. A weak faith in Christ, just as much as a strong faith, has Christ. He's the treasure that faith holds, and he doesn't grow bigger and he doesn't grow smaller. He is the same treasure, and all the benefits he won are held onto by faith. Now, a strong faith holds onto him firmly. A weak faith holds onto him loosely. A strong faith holds onto Christ when the world crumbles around you. A weak faith crumbles in the face of adversity. The question is, who is it who strengthens faith? It isn't you, as we discussed in Bible class today. It's God the Holy Spirit. He does it through His Word. He speaks and causes your grip on Christ to grow stronger, tighter, firmer. He strengthens your faith because he knows the enemies that you face from without and the enemy that you face within. He strengthens your faith so that you don't turn away from trusting in God in the hour of trial. He strengthens your faith so that in that hour you may be able, as Paul said, to withstand in the evil day and having done all, to stand. Maybe you think that you already have a really strong faith. Good. So did the Israelites when God took them out of Egypt until a few days passed by without any food in sight, and then they cursed God and Moses. Maybe you think you have a very strong faith. Good. So did the apostles when they were on the sea with Jesus, and then the storm came up, and they almost despaired. Peter thought he had a strong faith as he began to walk on the water until he saw the waves and began to sink. All the disciples thought they had a very strong faith so that they would never abandon Jesus or betray him or deny him, until a few hours later they saw the swords and the clubs and the torches of the soldiers and ran away like scared little children. Because their faith wasn't so strong. Their faith was supported mainly by sight. So that when sight was taken away, faith crumbled. Now that should both serve as a warning to us and as a comfort, because these were the apostles of Jesus, who at many times in the Gospels we see with a very weak faith, a little faith. They weren't despised by Jesus because of that. They weren't cast aside, but their faith wasn't left weak like it was. Jesus saw to it that their faith was strengthened. Strengthened how? Strengthened by his word. Strengthened as the nobleman's faith was in the gospel today. Because the fact is, we are all in constant need of God's strengthening, of God's grace, of God's forgiveness. And that strength comes not out of thin air. That strength comes not by the power of your prayer, but by the power of God's word that you hear. By the power of God's word that you eat and drink in the sacrament. Well, that's what the nobleman was all about in Jesus' interaction with him in the gospel. The nobleman in the gospel had a son who had a terrible fever, a terrible sickness that had him at the point of death. He had heard a little bit of Jesus and the miracles he had done. One miracle up in Galilee, the changing water into wine, right there in that same town of Cana. Other miracles that he had done down in Judea. And here Jesus was within reach, within grasp, right there in his own town. The nobleman had heard, and what he had heard about Jesus had caused him to believe. He had faith to come to Jesus to seek help. That was faith. Fine, so far. But his plea for help betrays the weak point of his faith, where it was at the point of crumbling. He implored Jesus to come with him down to his house in Capernaum, where his dying son was. He believed that Jesus could do something if Jesus were close enough to his son, if he came to help and did whatever miraculous thing he might do. Does that remind you of another parable? Not a parable, another miracle account in the Gospels. The one with the centurion, the Roman centurion, the Gentile, who heard of Jesus' power and goodness and sent an envoy to Jesus to ask him to heal his servant, but not to come to his house. Jesus even offered to go to the centurion's house, and the centurion said, no, I'm not worthy to have you in my house. And besides, it doesn't matter. You don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus highly praised that Gentile centurion's faith. That was the faith that simply looks to Jesus for a word, and with a word is content no matter what he sees. The nobleman in our gospel today wasn't there yet. He didn't yet trust the simple word of Jesus to help. So Jesus, knowing that, tests him. And not just him, but all the people there, and you and me as well. As he says, in you plural, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. A challenge. A test. A tearing down of sight and of the reliance on signs and wonders and seeings. Because it all comes down to this, doesn't it? It's easy to believe God will provide as long as you see him providing along the way. It's easy to have faith in God's providence when you see a full pantry, when you see a job that looks like it will be there for a while, when you see a bank account that has enough money to get you through a while, then you can trust. But when those things are gone, now you find out what faith was being supported by. Was it being supported by your job and your pantry and your bank account? Or when those things are gone, do you panic? It's easy to believe that God is good when you see that you're healthy and that your family members are healthy. Take that health away and you see what your faith was relying on. Was it relying on God's promise to provide, God's promise of goodness in Christ, or again, do you panic and find yourself even cursing God for bringing this on you? The nobleman in the gospel still thought that the Lord wasn't powerful enough to heal by a word, to help by a word, but would only be powerful enough if he came down in person to heal his son. He pleads with Jesus, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Less talk, Jesus. More action. Less talk, Jesus. More doing things that actually help me. How many people don't think that way still today? Less talk, Jesus. How many times haven't you thought that? It's not the word of Jesus I need right now. It's for Jesus to actually do something to help with my life. His word isn't relevant. His word isn't enough. His word won't help me. And so when trials come up in a person's life, what's a person say? I'm not going to come to church for a while until I fix this problem in my life. It's not the word of Jesus that I need. It's something else. But they have it all backwards, and it will destroy them in the end, because it's only the word of Jesus that you need. And by that word, he can do whatever else it is that you need fixing in your life, by the word and power and promise of Jesus. But if anyone will listen, the word of Jesus comes along to keep faith from dying and to build it up stronger than it was before. Jesus said to the nobleman, "Go your way, your son lives." Just a word Jesus would give him, just a promise. He doesn't take hold of his hand. He doesn't pat him on the shoulder, there, it'll be all right. Let's go down to your house. He won't even walk with him. Sends him away, but he sends him with a promise. He sends him with a word. And what did that word produce in the nobleman's heart? It tells us in the gospel. The man believed the word Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. He didn't go his way wondering what might happen. He didn't go his way despairing and depressed. He actually believed nothing but the word Jesus had spoken. Wouldn't it be nice to have such a promise of Jesus for everything that might go wrong in our lives? Your pantry will be full tomorrow and today. You'll get the position you want in your class, on your team, at your job. Your cancer, your illness will go away. Your loved one will not die. But no, these are not the promises Jesus has made. You cannot have faith in things God hasn't promised, not real faith, not anything God calls faith. People call it faith all the time. Just have faith, even if God hasn't said he would do what you want done. Faith needs a word, a specific word. Every petition of the Lord's Prayer, though, is a word that Jesus has given you to pray to your Father in heaven. And in that word is the promise that your Father will hear and help. Or otherwise, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and promise all these things will be added to you as well. Or he says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Or he says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Or he says, take, eat, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. We have lots of words, lots of promises God has given. Now, sometimes you don't get to see how God keeps his promises to you. In some cases, you won't know until you reach heaven how God was working faithfully to keep every promise he ever made to you in his word. But sometimes you do get to see, like this father did in our gospel. Sometimes you do get to see how God moved history itself to prosper you, to keep his promises to you, his word. You can point to any number of ways in your life that God has provided, in ways that you couldn't have foreseen, in ways that you didn't plan and weren't even responsible for, ways that he's provided for you, for our church. The nobleman got to see his son being healed at the word of Jesus. And when he saw, when his servant came and told him that his son had been healed at the very hour Jesus said, your son lives, it says that the nobleman himself believed, and his whole household. There you see how it happened. The word of Jesus came to the nobleman about Jesus. He believed. He believed with a weak faith, but he believed. He went to Jesus. Jesus spoke a word, your son lives, and he believed and went. And then he saw the fulfillment of the word, and it says again, he believed. He believed even more when he saw the fulfillment of Jesus' promise, and not just he, but his whole household. Believed what, though? Believed that his son was well? No, he didn't have to believe that anymore. He could see it with his eyes. That's not believing when you can see it with your eyes. What did he believe then? He believed in Jesus. Not that Jesus had healed his son. He could see that. He believed that Jesus would continue to help him in his needs. He trusted in Jesus to be the Savior God said he was, the Savior who would help him with all of his needs. Words, promises, faith. They're important because there is still one promise that I guarantee you will not see fulfilled before you die. You heard today that promise that God made to the people of Israel before Jesus came, hundreds of years, spoken through the prophet Hosea. God's promise, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. That didn't happen for the Israelites ever. They saw no one die and be ransomed from the grave. They saw death never being destroyed. They saw the grave always victorious. This was a promise that if someone in Israel needed sight in order to believe, they could never believe because they never had this sight. It was all pure faith all the time, this promise of God to redeem them from death. And yet some believed. You and I have more than they had. We have the same word and promise of God about the destruction of death and the resurrection of life. But we also have a fulfillment. One fulfillment. One fulfillment of this word and promise. One resurrection. One victory over death. Our Lord Jesus Christ on the third day rose from the dead and was the first proof, the first fulfillment of this promise of God. He was the first, but he won't be the last. He is the first fruits, the first among many brothers. All who believe in him will be raised as he was raised and will be given eternal life as he lives eternally, even as all who believe in him have already been raised to new life through water and the word, through holy baptism. God knows that you won't see any more examples of this promise fulfilled until the last day, but you have one to cling to. One fulfillment of the promise in the same promise made to you. Jesus' victory will be the victory of all who run the race of faith and cross the finish line with faith. Are you worried about having a weak faith or about getting a stronger faith than you had before so that you can finish the race with all the adversities that come, with all the temptations, with all the enemies? The answer is that you need to look away from yourself for that kind of help. Instead, listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He would finish it, not by snapping his fingers, but by providing word and sacrament for you to strengthen and finish your faith so that you still have it at the end of the race, at the finish line. Let us look to him for help. Let us look to him in his word and sacraments to grant us each day a stronger faith than the day before. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.